Good morning, Redeemer. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 150. It's the last psalm in the book of Psalms. We're concluding our series through the book of Psalms as we looked at select psalms from the five books that make up the Psalter. Today it's Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, help us. Help us to see you clearly, to understand you, to believe you, and to praise you in response. In Jesus' name, amen. I was working on a side project recently, and I got it done, and I had to send it off. And now you get feedback, and it's like a writing thing. And I got the feedback, and the feedback was very positive. It was very, very positive. And I was like, oh, whew, that feels good. You know, that's nice. And before I got that, I was feeling like that was the worst thing I've ever done. No one's going to like it, but the person liked it. So, you know, it felt good. I have this weird relationship with affirmations and compliments. I like to give them. I'm uncomfortable getting them, but I want them. I want them, but I don't want to hear about it. Like I haven't really wrapped my head around what's broken in me, what my malfunction is, but I have a weird relationship with praise as it comes this way. Why do we praise people anyways? Why do we do that? What's our motive? What is our aim? I was thinking about it this week, and I think there are three basic reasons we tend to offer praise to people. One, oftentimes, is because we're sucking up to the boss. It's not real. We don't mean it. But people will praise their boss, the leader, the person that they want something from, whether that is more money or more access. We're just going to polish the apple, you know, be the yes man, the sycophant. So we'll offer praise sometimes for no good reason, though it might be effective. Sometimes we offer praise because we're just trying to encourage somebody. And this is maybe the most common reason that we do it, right? Somebody's making an attempt to do something, to achieve something. They've worked hard at something. And then we praise them for their efforts or for the measure of success that they had. If you raise children, you know this is important. They don't have to get it perfect. They don't have to do everything correct. But the effort to do it itself is worth saying, good job. You tried. And look how far you've come from the last time you did it. We offer praise to encourage, to celebrate with others. But maybe the purest form of praise just emerges out of a shared sense of joy, right? We are genuinely happy for what someone is becoming, or is doing, and out of a sense of joy for what that is, we praise them. And I think that's closer to the heart of praise that we read about in the Bible. Why does praise matter? Why is praise important, or is it critically important? And this is what I believe. I believe most of our misery in our lives is not a result of the presence of pain. It comes from the absence of praise. There's always going to be pain, to greater or lesser degrees. But if there is going to be praise, that is up to you. And the withholding of praise only amplifies our pain. And so here's what I want us to see in Psalm 150 today. One basic principle. Praise honors God and unites the saints, and it renews our joy. This is why praise is critical to the life of faith and to the health of our souls. Praise honors God, it unites the saints, and it renews our joys. We're going to walk through this passage by simply answering basic questions that this passage directly answers, right? What, where, why, how, and who? First, the very first part of verse 1, we're going to answer this question, what? What is praise? Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise the Lord. Praise, it means to boast, it means to honor, right? If we're getting really simple, it's synonymous with worship. But if we want to be specific, and I like to be specific, if we want a definition, and you know I like giving definitions, praise is the expression of excellence. Or maybe, clearer still, it is the articulation of adoration. When we're praising God, we are articulating, we are using our words, we are articulating our adoration of our great and good and holy God. This is what praise essentially is. It is to boast out loud in the Lord. It is to honor him, worship him, and to articulate our adoration of him. Praise, it says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. PTL. Do they still say that? I remember in the 90s, I was a brand new Christian, and that was the thing. People say PTL. Like, it was a cool way. It was a cool way of saying praise the Lord without saying praise the Lord. I tried it once. One time I tried to say hallelujah. It didn't go well. Nobody liked that. Apparently didn't fit my vibe in the moment. There were a couple of people from the church who were there in that moment in 1992. And I made it weird. Praise the Lord, right? This psalm is a part of what they call the Hallelujah Chorus, which is Psalms 146 through 150. Those last five psalms are, think of how the book of Psalms has been edited and compiled. The last five all begin with praise the Lord and end with praise the Lord. The Hallelujah Chorus. That's what praise the Lord means. It means hallelujah, right? Or more specifically, hallelujah. This Hebrew word means praise the Lord. Praise Yah or Yahweh. We're praising the Lord, not a generic God. We are praising the Lord, Yahweh. By the way, most of your translations should have a Lord, L-O-R-D, in all capitals, right? And when it's in upper and lowercase caps or upper and smaller capital letters, that is indicating that it's the Hebrew word Yahweh, the infinite, eternal, unchanging God of Israel, the I Am, who has no beginning or end, who is eternally faithful to his people. The most sacred and holy name of God among the Hebrews. Praise the Lord, praise that God. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. It's said 43 times in the book of Psalms. And here we have it in measure, but it's taking in both the beginning and the end. So this is what praise essentially is, right? It is an articulation of adoration to the one true God who has made all and redeemed all. Second question, also in verse 1, is where? Where should we do this? Where should we praise the Lord? Now, if the question is where should we praise the Lord, what's the answer, everybody? Everywhere. That's not a hard question, right? We should, even if you don't believe, you're like, well, it's probably everywhere. If that's what you should probably do it everywhere. And of course, yes, that is the answer. But specificity helps. And here, he is giving us specific contexts in which praise happens. You see it? Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. So this praise of God, this articulation of adoration, yes, it's going to happen everywhere. But boy, it's important that it happens in the sanctuary. This is a reference to the temple, right? Where the people of God would gather together to offer prayers and sacrifices, to worship. They had this communal identity under their covenant God who has redeemed them and has promises for them. Praise him in his sanctuary. Because praise is meant to be shared. Yes, we can definitely have and we should have a robust personal relationship with the Lord. We should know and follow Jesus Christ ourselves, but the life of faith is not meant to be lived in isolation from others. In fact, it's meant to be lived with and among other believers. And praise is a necessary part of that relationship. We gather together with God's people to praise him. Listen, this is what church should be known for, right? I mean, I'll be fair, like the church of Jesus Christ, any healthy church should be known for a few things, right? We should be known for the truth of God's word, the truth of the gospel. We should be known for the love that we have for one another. But clearly, we should be known as a people of praise, a people who are characterized by joyful praise regardless of the setting, the culture, the context. No matter how deep the degree of misery that they might face in this world, wherever the church is, they're supposed to be joyful praise to God. This should be the place where we see that. Listen to Psalm 22, verse 22. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. It seems like the church is oftentimes known for other things. You know, we can be known for the show that we put on or the politics that we like to preach, or we can be known for a lot of things as churches in America. Let's make sure that one of the things that we are known for is that we are a people who praise God. We are about him, and we see him in all things. I mean, it's a good question to ask ourselves, right, to get personal. Why do I come to church? Why did you come to church today? Well, it's what I do. I come to church. I'm paid to be here, so, you know, that's kind of my reason. It's not my reason. Not really. I mean, why did you come? And there's going to be a multiplicity of reasons, multiple reasons, good reasons, different reasons, but good reasons why we go to church. Certainly, one of them must be to praise God, to bless him, to glorify him with open hearts and open mouths. So we praise God where? In the sanctuary, where we gather together with God's people. And where is God praised? In the mighty heavens. Praise him in his sanctuary. Okay, I can handle that. Praise him in his mighty heavens. I can't do that. Not yet. Praise him in his mighty heavens. This is a reference to the heavens. Why is it called mighty heavens, though? Mighty heavens. Why has it got to have that descriptor on it? I think the basic reason, some people would say, like, well, it's because this is where the angelic armies are. And so they have, God has a mighty army, and that's where, so it's the mighty heavens. And I think that's right. I think it's close. I think it's better to even say, this is not just a heaven. Yahweh, the mighty God of Israel, doesn't just have a heaven. He has a mighty heaven because he is almighty. There is praise in his mighty heaven, where he does have a vast army of angelic warriors who do his bidding. There is praise. There's praise in heaven. Listen to Psalm 103, starting in verse 20. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He says it's happening in the heavens. Angels, get with it. Praise the Lord. We know that this is happening. But how does he end it? Bless the Lord, O my soul. As high as the heavens is, where God is exalted and worshiped by angels, he wants this expression of praise to be true in the lowest part, right? Where his soul is, in his own heart. There's praise in heaven. Isaiah's vision of the Lord in Isaiah 6. He sees the Lord, and what's happening? The seraphim, these angelic beings, are surrounding the Lord and singing and proclaiming and praising, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And what happens? What happens when Jesus is born? The angels appear in Luke 2, and they're singing, glory to God in the highest. The angels praise God in heaven. And yes, we should praise God wherever we are. But here is, I think, the ultimate takeaway for me is, where should we praise God? Wherever God's people are, there will be praise. Wherever God's people are, there should be the expression of joyful delight in the excellency of God. And that gets to the why. What is praise? Where should we praise God? Why should we praise God? The reason, and the simplest reason, is we should praise God because he is worthy of praise. I know that's simple, but it's helpful to establish it as a foundation, right? You don't want to offer praise to somebody who isn't worthy. Like you're going to give them the wrong idea. You know, like, Bob, great job singing today. Can you do that again the next Sunday? Like, if we don't let people come up here and embarrass themselves if they're terrible singers. We try not to let ourselves preach bad messages. Like, we try to work on that so that we get better. It's like you offer praise when something is done that is praiseworthy, whether it's the effort or the actual achievement. We praise God because God is worthy. In Psalm 29, it begins like this: ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. We worship God and praise God because he is actually worthy. And that's what the word worship, our worship, comes from this older English word, worthship, to ascribe worth. So we praise God because he is worthy. Specifically, we praise him for his person and his work. We praise him for who he is and what he has done. And that's how the psalm breaks it down. It says, praise him for his mighty deeds. So this is what God has done. And the easiest way to summarize this is to say, like, okay, well, what has God done? We praise him for his work of creation. We praise him for his work of providence. We praise him for his work of redemption. Three easy categories that affects all of life. God is the creator of all things, seen and unseen. And he has made all things beautiful. Now, sin has marred it. Sin has brought trouble into this world, but what God has made is good. So, for reflection, you can go to Psalm 19 and read those first four verses. And there you can meditate and express praise to God for what he has given us. The food, the fruit, the beauty, the air, all of it. We praise God for his work of creation. We praise God for his work of providence. Let me just read a little bit of this to you. Psalm 104, starting in verse 10. It goes on, but I just want to read a couple of verses. What is God's providence? God's providence is God's ongoing, active care and involvement in all of the affairs of all of life. Psalm 104, verse 10 says, you, God, you make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of heavens dwell. They sing among the branches, and from your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. It goes on. The point is that as a God of providence, he is governing all things at all times, superintending the details of this earth. It's not a clock that has been wound up and is now running on auto. God is invested and attentive to it all, which means that in your life, everything that is good in your life, everything that has meaning and value is a part of God's providence. And the work of redemption is what? The work of redemption is God's saving guilty sinners from their sin, from the judgment that we have brought upon us, from the ruin that we brought into this world. He brings about redemption. Listen to Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Here Paul says, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Now, just in summary fashion, as we look at this, we thank God for this gift of redemption because it isn't anything that we could earn. We can't build it. We can't achieve it. We can only receive it. We give thanks to the God who qualified the unqualified. He qualified us so that we can inherit what wasn't ours to begin with. He delivered us from the domain of darkness and put us into the kingdom, made us citizens, made us saints, and we have the forgiveness of sins. So why is God worthy? Because he is a God who made us. He is a God who takes care of us and provides for us, and he is a God who redeems us. And what this means really is that what God has done, his works, what God has done merits our praise. It means it deserves it. It's worthy. So it's very important that we don't just understand that principle, but that the things that God has done, we should be attentive here, the things that God has done shouldn't only merit our praise, it should move us to praise him. It should compel us. So why is God praiseworthy? Because of his mighty deeds and because of his excellent greatness. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. This is another way of saying praise him for his holiness. And what is God's holiness? It means his otherness, his uniqueness, his exalted state. More specifically, it means all of the things that are true of God are what separate him from all that he has made and exalts him above all that he has made. He is sovereign and righteous and merciful and patient and good and loving and forgiving. All the things that make God, God, that's his holiness, his otherness. This is his excellent greatness. Just listen, just a couple of passages. Numbers 14, verse 19. Moses says, please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. Lord, forgive. Forgive, not because we're worthy, but because you're amazing, because of the greatness of your love. It is so much greater than the hate and the sin that we bring into the world. Lord, forgive us for your sake. Or 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. God is praiseworthy, not just because of what he has done, but because of who he is. Let's do something. In your minds, you can do it out loud too. I wouldn't. In your minds, I want you to think of one word, just one word that is true about God that you find praiseworthy. Hold it. Write it down. What's the first word that comes to mind that is true about God? A characteristic that is true about God that is praiseworthy. Do you praise him for that? Does that help you to see his beauty? Because the Lord is beautiful. Does that make you uncomfortable? Grow up. People get weird about this. Talking about the beauty of God, the beauty of, okay. And maybe I'm talking to myself here, because I probably would have responded to that way as a young man. You know what the beauty of the Lord is? It is all of the things that are true about God that he has revealed to us that we can see with faith. The more you see of God, the more beautiful you understand him to be. Psalm 27. Verse 4, one thing I have asked, one thing I have asked of the Lord, and that I'm going to seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. The one thing. You can't get there without theology. You can't get there apart from the word. And you can't really do it without praise. And what do we do? How do we feed this? Well, we go to God's word because God's word gives us the words that help us to articulate our adoration. One of my favorite passages, and it's repeated in different ways, is in Psalm 86, verse 15. First shows up in Exodus 34. But here it says, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. There's a lot there. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to pray. You go to the word and it tells you who God is. And now you have words to use to praise him. He is merciful and gracious. He is patient. He is loving and faithful. God gives us the words to answer the why. God is worthy. All right, and then how? How should we actually go about this? This is verses 3-5. And you can see what it says. Praise him with trumpet sound, praise him with lute and harp, with tambourine and dance, with strings and pipe, with sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So how should we praise God? With everything we've got. That's what I've been thinking about. That's the main thing I've been thinking about. What does it mean to praise God with everything I've got? Maybe you think you don't have much. Or maybe you've lost sight of how much you do have. But what do I mean by praising God with everything that we've got? Well, just look at the variety of instruments. I think it's 7 different instruments or kinds of instruments that are referenced here. With the trumpet, right? A shofar, it's a ram's horn. People blow through it. That was really important for fighting and feasting. Right? If there was a battle, you blow the shofar. If it's a feast and a celebration at a party, you blow the shofar. It's this loud, clear noise that gets everyone's attention. We praise him with the trumpet and with the lute and the harp. We'll put those together because they're kind of the same thing. You know what a harp is? The lute is very similar. It's a stringed instrument. It takes a lot of skill to play. David's instrument of choice. He loved playing the harp. Praise him with tambourine. Not what you think. I like a tambourine. It was an acquired taste. Now I love a tambourine when it's employed well. I just imagine somebody just going renegade with a tambourine in a congregation. Like chill out with the tambourine. These tambourines didn't have little bells on them. They were like hand drums. Hand drums. Praise him with percussion. And this percussion, this instrument of percussion, this little drum, it's handheld. It's for celebration. It's oftentimes held because you can dance with it. And yes, that's part of praising God here, in dance. And if you're like, dance? Baptist, listen, the dance that we're talking about is a very communal and culturally understood approach to dancing that is done in celebration, it's oftentimes in a circle. You've seen circle dances, people kicking their legs and celebrating and partying, right? It's very much like this. It was a fun, joyful, rhythmic, communal thing. Praising with strings and pipe. All stringed instruments here and pipe. Not like a pipe organ, that wasn't around yet, but like flutes, all the wind instruments. And praise him with cymbals, metal percussion. I love it. Cymbals. Now, the cymbals were certainly for praise and celebration, also for dramatic effect. And typically, cymbal crashing would come at the end of a song where it was reaching its conclusion and climax. The point here is that all instruments and all music should be used to praise God. All of it. Now, not everybody agrees. We had a person, I won't say who. Well, you wouldn't know him anyways. A couple of you do. We had a person visit our church one day. I spent a few hours here talking to various people in the church during the week. Just lavishing prayer. This is a great church. They didn't come to worship yet, you know. But then on their way out, they looked in and saw the drum set. They didn't like that. And so on my wall, there's a little poster I made. It says, quote, "The drum set says it all." Because after she saw the drum set, oops, I said she. After this person saw the drum set, the staff got a barrage of emails about how evil we are. Only if she knew. All instruments and all music is used to praise God. So when I say we use all that we got, I don't just mean all of the instruments we've got, but there's more, right? Even here, we're using our bodies, right? In dance or in raising our hands or in kneeling down, right? We use our bodies. We use our voice, right? Because we raise our voice. We literally praise the Lord. We use all that we have, whatever is at our disposal. And who is we? Who should be doing this? Who should praise the Lord? Verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Who should do it? Everybody who's breathing. Every breathing thing should be praising God, because your breath, your very breath, is a gift. If you are drawing breath right now, it's a gift. The older we get, the more we understand the real nature of that. The weaker we get, the more we value breath. We do it without thinking throughout the day. It's a gift. It says it in Isaiah 42, God gives breath to all people. But in Acts 17, in verses 24 and 25, listen to what Paul says here. The God who made the world and everything in it, creator, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. God gives us breath. And if God has given you the gift of breath, that means that he has given you a gift that allows you to enjoy all of the other gifts that he gives you in this life. You can enjoy them because you are breathing. And so we give thanks to God for it all. Who is supposed to give praise to God? Well, everyone who breathes. If you're breathing, it means you were made for praise. Made for it. We shouldn't be able to live a day of our lives without praise. We should feel lethargic, starving of spiritual oxygen if we're not praising God. We're made for it. Praise honors God. We get that. It unites the saints because it's supposed to be a shared discipline and expression, but it renews our joy. Now, there is no proper way of praising God apart from Jesus Christ. We can't properly do it without him. In Ephesians, one, it says, blessed be the God and Father. Blessed, right? He's praiseworthy. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. We are blessed, saved, accepted, redeemed through Jesus Christ and through him alone. And because of Jesus, we can offer praise to God. In fact, in Hebrews it says, through him, that's Jesus, through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name, that acknowledge who he really is. Maybe you've never praised God outside of saying, thank God, after you avoid the car accident. Maybe you've never genuinely given praise to God through Jesus Christ because you have not yet been united to Jesus by faith. Today can be the day that you hear the invitation that Christ gives. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest for your souls. You can heed his invitation. You can come to Christ. You can believe in him, and he accepts you. He will take away your sin and guilt and give you every spiritual blessing. And then you will have limitless reasons to praise God. Maybe you're a believer and you're just feeling like, it's really hard to praise God right now. I can't really do it. It's tough times. Maybe you're stressed out about the culture and the politics and the wars and social problems. Maybe you're just hurting. You're going through some bad things that you can't really control. And my encouragement to you is that when you feel as if you can't praise because your circumstances are too painful, I want you to remember that the pain isn't coming merely from your circumstances. It's coming from the absence of praise, because praise helps us to see God in and above our circumstances. Praising God in the midst of your hardships does not mean you're ignoring your hardships, pretending that they're not there, pretending that everything's okay and that you're chill. It means that you set your eyes to see who God is based on his revelation, based on even what you've experienced in your life, and you articulate your adoration for those qualities of God, those works of God. You praise him and your heart is lifted up. You're not ignoring your circumstances when you praise God. You're bringing God into your circumstances. Are you sad? Depressed? Praise the Lord. Not because you're sad or depressed, but in your mourning and grief, in it, praise the Lord, for he is praiseworthy, even if your circumstances themselves are not. Are you anxious? Are you afraid? Praise the Lord. Are you angry? Are you frustrated? Praise the Lord. Are you happy? Are you content? Then praise the Lord, because when we leave praise out of our circumstances, out of our condition, we leave ourselves detached from God's goodness experienced in our lives. It's a lot harder to navigate. Praise is powerful. Not because it changes our circumstances, but because it renews our joy in a God that transcends everything that we're going through. My encouragement is that we would be a people who join the chorus, the hallelujah chorus, that we would be known as a people who openly, boisterously praise God for who he is, what he has done, especially in the midst of trouble and darkness and discouragement, but never forgetting to do it in the midst of light days, easy days, and days of celebration. Because when God isn't a part of it, none of it really means much of anything. Thanks be to God that the Lord Jesus Christ, in saving us ensures that there is value, meaning, and purpose in all of it. So let's praise the Lord together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, for the book of Psalms, and for teaching us how to praise. I mean, not just today, Lord. You've been teaching us to praise from the moment of our conversion. Lord, would you continue to teach us? Help us to be a people who are so ready to praise. We could begin and not stop and never run out of things to praise you for. Lord, let us be a people of praise who so clearly see the grace of Christ in all of life that others around us can't help but see it too. Lord, help us to be a people who praise you together and who in that praise encourage it and draw it out of each other, not by manipulation or pressure, but out of a joyful example and a contagious faith. Lord, we pray that everyone here today would draw near to Christ and give thanks to you for the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name, amen.